Tell you what, we are here, I guess, for two reasons. Jesus is our living hope.
Yes.
But I think about even a greater reason than that. I think about the fact how Jesus, who gave his life for us, is worthy of being exalted in every nation to every people. He's worthy of it.
Amen.
And so, man, this week we've set it aside really to, I guess, highlight not only what God is doing throughout the world, but it's an awesome thing that you and I can be a part of this. I'm so thankful that as Christians, God has said, he says, give the gospel to every creature. There are those that are willing, while some of us might not have the calling on our lives to go to a distant land, there are those that have given their lives to doing that, just that, for Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. Because he's worthy. And so we've got some of those here with us this morning. And yet, as a church, God has given us an opportunity to be a part of those ministries by supporting them by prayer and by supporting them financially. Here at Faith Baptist Church, there are churches that do this different ways I've seen over the years, and there's probably more ways than I know. But the way that we as a church are involved in worldwide missions would be of course through prayer, but then also through giving that is designated toward to missions here through Faith Baptist Church. And again, there's different ways that churches do this, but what we do is we separate our general offering, which goes to the church here and getting the gospel out locally. We distinguish that, and you could see that right on the back of a giving envelope in the pew there. We distinguish that from missions giving. And again, churches do this different ways, but only that which is given specifically toward missions, that goes to missionaries and to our missions program here at Faith Baptist Church. So we don't take anything out of our regular giving. But I'll tell you what, I unapologetically just praise our church, and I'm thankful for our church for the way that our church has responded over the years as there has been an opportunity like this to give. Some people might think of this as in a negative way, but I am so thankful. Can I use this in the right way? Man, I'm proud of our church. And there are people that have just given so sacrificially. And if you've been a part of that, you know the joy of being able to do that. And so, again, here at Faith Baptist Church, we don't take up commitments here at our church. Again, churches do this differently here. But whatever God leads you in your heart to give, we would encourage you to give that. And sometimes God changes that. Can I just be a little transparent with you this morning? I've been praying about this over the past few days, and God has started, he's been putting a number on my heart as far as what we should be giving to missions at this time. And I'm saying, God, that's a little uncomfortable. Are you sure you got that right? You know, sometimes signals go out, right? You know this with Wi-Fi. You know this with your cell phone. You know, maybe I got like a bad signal or something, you know, praying about it. And so I'm bringing that to God, and I'm saying, God, I told Jessica about it. I'm like, okay, is... And, but the bottom line is that you and I, in this age of grace, we are free to give whatever God has laid on our hearts. And it's such an awesome privilege to be able to do that. So however God works in your heart this week, we would encourage you to respond in that way. And anyway, I'm thankful for our church and the way that you've just responded over the years. And so I'm thankful for that. Well, Brother Lance is going to be preaching here in just a minute. Lance and Christy, they're good friends of ours. We've known them for, man, like 14 years. I met Lance, I remember when he walked into my office in my first staff position in Washington. I had no idea what I was doing, totally wet behind the ears. Anyway, met Lance during that time. And over the years, we've just gotten to know each other. Brother Lance, he is a missionary to military prisons. And I'll just say this one thing, and then we'll let the video go here. He started inviting me to come and speak at an Easter revival that he had at the prison at Joint Base Lewis-McChord there in Lakewood, Washington. And I would just tell you, it was the highlight. Outside of serving in my church, it was the highlight of my year, hands down. I mean, we're talking about like young guys whose lives have been completely changed because of some choice that they made. And so many of them are just receptive to the gospel, and it is awesome. I've thought, man, if I could line up a trip to Washington to where I could go and be there again, that would just be absolutely awesome. And I'm hoping to be able to do that. But anyway, Lance and Christy, they're on the front lines. I'm just so thankful for their ministry. I'm thankful for the missionaries that we have here, and hope that you take time to get to know them. But we're going to show his video first, and then he's going to come up and preach. And anyway, looking forward to this morning.
From the halls of Pontus to Tumulus to the shores of Tripoli. Off we go, into the wild blue yonder, climbing high up the sun. First to fight for the right, and to build the nation's might, and the army.
Every year, thousands of military members find themselves serving time behind the bars of military correctional facilities for crimes committed under military law. Most military inmates are serving prison time in one of six major military correctional facilities: Naval Brig Chesapeake in Virginia, Naval Brig Charleston in South Carolina, Naval Brig Miramar in California, the U.S. Disciplinary Barracks, and Army Regional Corrections Facility, both of which are on Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, and the Army Regional Corrections Facility on Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State. What a travesty to think that those who once fought for the liberty and freedom of others now have no freedom of their own due to sin.
Hello, I'm Marvin McKenzie, pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Puyallup, Washington. It is my great honor to introduce to you today missionary chaplain Lance Hohenstreet. I've had the privilege to serve the Lord alongside he and Sister Hohenstreet as his pastor for the last 16 years now. And I count Brother Hohenstreet as a dear friend. And I want to thank you for your part in sending the Hohenstreets to the incarcerated in the U.S. military prison system. The work that God has done through Brother Lance has been nothing short of amazing. God has opened doors to nearly all of the military prisons in the United States. God has given him a rapport with both the incarcerated as well as the guards at the prisons. God's given Lance the respect of the facility command, both officers and civilians. Chaplain Hohenstreet's long ministry, for instance, at the Regional Correction Facility here in Tacoma, has led to an unprecedented access to the facility. He practically writes his own pass here when and wherever he desires to go. When the facility closed for demolition and new construction, one of the early actions of the staff was to sign him up, ensuring that he had a place when the RCF reopens after the new construction. Brother Hohenstreet has a love for these men, a passion to win them to Lord Jesus Christ, and a heart to see them discipled for the Lord. I have the privilege of assisting Brother Hohenstreet now in many, almost 16 of the prison revivals here at the Joint Base Lewis and McChord, and then also helping with one of them at Fort Leavenworth. And I'm just going to tell you, you won't find a man more dedicated to the cause of Christ than Chaplain Missionary Brother Lance Hohenstreet. Thank you once again for having your part in his ministry.
We are Lance and Christine Hohenstreet, your missionaries to the military and military prisons since 2002. I'm a Gulf War U.S. Air Force Security Police veteran who served at Mountain Home Air Force Base, Idaho from 1992 until 1996. I had no idea what God had planned for us, but my experience in the military police and as a Mountain Home police officer early in life laid an essential foundation for what God had planned.
My law enforcement background left me with a general disdain for the inmate, as I had been cussed at, assaulted, spit on, among other things. Be sure that I am not a sympathizer, but God began to soften my heart in January of 1999 with a collect call from my brother in a county jail. He was initially facing 7 felonies and up to 70 years in prison. We praise the Lord for his mercy, as my brother was only sentenced to 6 years in an Idaho state prison, only 30 minutes from our home in Mountain Home, Idaho. My brother was paroled after only 2 years, but I knew that my time in prison was only beginning. The Lord continued my ministry preparation as I served as the assistant pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Mountain Home before being commissioned and sent out on our deputation journey to the military prisons. Since early 2004, the Lord has graciously allowed us to serve him behind the walls and fences of the Northwest Joint Regional Correctional Facility. This military prison is located on Joint Base Lewis-McChord, also known as Fort Lewis, in Washington State. From the beginning, God has given us unbelievable favor with the military police staff, military chaplains, and senior command officials. With exception of our early years in ministry, we have been blessed with unrestricted access to the facility and incredible ministry opportunities. For the past several years, I've actually served as the facility lead civilian chaplain under official appointment orders issued by the military police battalion commander.
Hi, I'm Todd Williams. I'm an active duty Army chaplain and the director of pastoral care here at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, at the United States Army Disciplinary Barracks. Known Lance and Christine since 2013, where I was doing a clinical rotation at the prison there at Fort Lewis, Washington. Met Lance as we were going through pre-service training. Didn't know it then, but he and I would spend the next 3.5 years doing ministry together at the prison. It's amazing that the talk was that me and Lance were going to knock heads because we were so different, but what happened was we got to understand each other's kingdom focus for saving souls in the jail, and we became the sons of thunder. Lance was my harvester. I set the standards for the opportunity for him to do the ministry that he does, and it'd be once a week he'd say, "Hey, Todd, 3 people made a profession of faith last night. 2 people made a profession of faith." And then I'll go follow up, and then periodically we'd have a baptism. There was times I would baptize 15 men at one time. Lance and Christine are phenomenal people. Christine was actually my song director, my choir leader, my musician there at the jail. So got to spend a lot of time with them, love them dearly. Great brother and sister in Christ, and I just can't say enough about him, that Lance Hohenstreet is kingdom focused, a man after God's own heart, and has a passion for winning the lost.
I've spent thousands of hours visiting countless new military inmates in the facility reception block since 2004. So many young service members, each facing seemingly insurmountable consequences, have been funneled through the prison in the past 16 years. I strive to make contact with each one. Some trusted Christ, others heard the gospel for the first time, and many relationships were forged for future ministry opportunities. God allowed us to impact the lives of countless young service members, all thanks to you.
Yeah, how are you doing? God bless you. Keep supporting Pastor Lance. I'm a direct result of your ministry. I appreciate you and thank you so much.
I just want to say, please continue to support Chaplain Lance in everything that he's doing. He's doing amazing work. He's doing God's work. I can personally say that I called myself a Christian for a long time, and it wasn't until I met him that I decided to get baptized, and that's a true statement. And it's because of how deeply he touched my heart and what it meant for him to explain what the Bible meant to me and really understand it. So please keep supporting him and what he's doing.
God bless you all. Thank you for supporting Pastor Lance's mission work. I know I'm a direct recipient of it, and the blessings I can count today is because of the time he put into me then. So thanks for all the help you've given him.
Over the years, our weekly Bible study and chapel service schedule in the prison has varied somewhat. But in an average week, we would hold 2 chapel services, 2 Bible studies, and 2 discipleship classes. Some of the discipleship classes included series on basic Bible doctrines, spiritual growth, marriage and family, character, dealing with emotions, just to name a few. My wife, Christine, has played the piano and assisted with the chapel music program for years. Occasionally, she has helped in the Bible studies in classes, especially when the facility has female inmates. The average age of incarcerated military service members is only 21, so many of the men call her the chapel mom. I praise the Lord for a wife who shares my burden for these young soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen. Our sustained work at the Fort Lewis prison gave us great credibility and rapport with other military officials, which led to revivals in all of the major military correctional facilities and rigs. Due to the limited locations and assignments of military police personnel, my wife and I have been able to build a good relationship with many of the guards over the years. Much of the military police guard force has been assigned, relocated, and reassigned in the facilities we reach, so we have watched the career progression of many of today's senior soldiers. We have been blessed with opportunities to speak for military police Bible studies, prayer breakfasts, chaplains classes, as well as other functions and military formations at Fort Lewis. The Army had been planning to build a new prison on Fort Lewis for well over a decade, but construction had never been approved or funded until late 2019. Initial plans consisted of uninterrupted prison operations while the new prison was being built adjacent to the old facility, but last fall the Army deemed the old plan cost prohibitive. As of March 2020, my prison, the U.S. Army Northwest Joint Regional Correction Facility, has been shut down and completely demolished. Construction is underway, with the new prison scheduled to be completed in early 2022. We plan to resettle near Fort Lewis at the beginning of 2022, where we will rejoin the military police force for recertification and force readiness training. My wife and I will reach 20 years on the mission field about the same time we plan to reestablish the work at the new prison. It has been an honor to serve as your missionary to the military and military prisons. Thank the Lord for many saved souls and changed lives, all fruit to your account.
Thank you for all your support and prayers over the years. It's an honor to do what we do. I love working with my guys and occasionally gals, and it's just a blessing to do what we do. I think Brother Merlo said it this morning, God just lets us in on what he's doing, amen, and he lets us have a part of that. And by your prayers and your faithfulness and giving and support, you all have a part in every one of those souls and those impacted lives. And I've watched that video many, many times. It still stirs my heart. Spent 16 years there. It's gone. It's been a tough transition for us. Many of you remember we were here about 2.5 years ago. I didn't know I would lose my dad later that year. Lost my dad. My girls are both grown up and gone. You saw a glimpse of them in the prison. They went with me a couple times after they turned 18. So both my girls are grown up and gone now. And with the prison being shut down and demolished, and we decided to sell our home and downsize, and we moved into the just lots of life changes. And so it's been traumatic. I guess you're going to say that. I'm not trying to whine. Just kind of being transparent, let you know where we are. We need your prayers. It's very difficult for my wife. She'd never tell you, but our oldest daughter and her husband and my first grandson, we became grandparents about a year and a half ago, got to come and spend some time with us. But we didn't even have anywhere for them to come because we're living in a trailer now. And so, as you can imagine, there are difficulties. So, and then COVID. We actually planned on everything shutting down once we knew the prison was closing as of in March. So we had at least a schedule plan where I was going to continue to do the revivals in the other military prisons, as well as continue to travel on our first furlough in almost 19 years and travel and report to churches But the Lord, allowed COVID to hit, and so all that's been changed too. And so we're just, I was telling Pastor Mike the other day, really the only two constants in our life are God and my wife, but is that a bad thing? I mean, maybe we ought to, if we just got back to that and realized that God really is the only constant in our lives and the relationships that God gives us through him. Maybe we ought to just get back to that in the first place. In fact, maybe that's why the Lord is allowing all these things to happen, to find out where we really are. But pray for us. It has been, we got our first prayer cards without the girls on it here this last year. And we both cried when we opened the box and didn't see the girls on the card. But make sure and get a new prayer card if you would. Pray for Christy. She has to live with me by herself now. Doesn't have the girls to help gang up on me. So pray for her. Amen. But anyway, it's an absolute blessing to be here, to see so many old friends. And to see, of course, I know Brother Merlot, and to meet the Taylors this week, and to see the Bermans, and just, of course, we love Mike and Jessica and their dear family, just precious people. And we love you all. We thank you for all that you've done for us over the years. Pray for us as we travel for this next year or so, and just pray that God allows that door to be reopened to us, and everything's set for that, but nonetheless, it'll be lots of transition. Well, this morning, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach. It's not a typical missions message. And I told Brother Joe that this morning, and he says, I've only heard you preach a few times, but I don't think you preach typical messages. So, if you've heard me preach before, if you don't like the way I preach, well, then praise the Lord. Come back next week and hear your pastor. Amen. I know Brother Mike is a phenomenal pastor and preacher, so you just have to put up with me just this morning. So, with the Lord's help this morning, I just want to preach to you and try to be a help and a blessing to you. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews 11. We'll start there, and then we're going to go to Genesis. But Hebrews chapter 11. The good thing about this morning is we don't have to worry about your pot roast burning because the food's all back there already. So that doesn't mean I'm going to preach an hour, though. Hopefully we'll keep it to a concise message. But Hebrews chapter 11. Those who are able to stand, would you stand with me this morning just for the reading of God? If you can't stand easily, please don't feel obligated. But those that can stand easily, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll look at a few verses and then we'll go to Genesis. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Obviously, this is Faith Baptist Church. I would hope that you know what faith is. Amen. I mean, we ought to trust God. And probably everyone in here would say, well, Brother Lance, of course. This is Faith Baptist Church. We know what faith is, and we have faith. We trust God. And hopefully everybody would say that. But here's the reality, especially this last year in trying times. Even though we know we're supposed to trust God, and even though we strive to trust God, my question is, do we really? Because if we really trusted God, how much insecurity would there be? How much anxiety would there be? How much tension would there be? How much stress would there be if we really trusted God? I'm challenged by that. Brother Joe said this morning, every preacher, as he's studying to preach, God's preaching to him first. Well, I'm telling you, God's already whooped me with this many times. So I'm just trying to share the blessing. Amen. So don't get mad at me. Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to look down at verse number 6. We know this verse, very, very common place in Scripture. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's impossible to please God without trusting him. So even if we're doing the right thing, and most people would say, I've talked to people who say this. Well, being a good Christian, hey, Brother Lance, I'm always at church on Sunday and Wednesday. I punched the clock. I did my duty. I'm a good Christian. But I would challenge you with this thought that doesn't make you a good Christian. Yeah, that's right. In fact, Jesus had a lot to say about the religious people that punched the clock and were always in the temple, did he not? So we need to challenge ourselves a little bit beyond that. I want you to skip down for context this morning down to verse number 13. There are obviously some who, trusting God, never actually physically saw it happen in their physical lifetime. That doesn't mean they didn't get God's promise. They just weren't there physically to see God fulfill what he promised. But it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. No greater message have I heard on heaven and home than what I heard yesterday. Phenomenal. Are our eyes set on glory? I mean, what the scripture says right here. We are strangers here. And if we get too comfortable, we start to live by our eyes and what we see and what's tangible, rather than by faith trusting God, realizing that this is not home. That is home. The Bible says in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This is what I want to focus on this morning, are these texts. It says this in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. As he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. What I want to preach to you this morning is this, simply stated, the faith of a father. Abraham had faith in his father and the promises that God had made to him. We're going to look at that this morning. Let's open in prayer and you can be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this church, for their faithfulness. I thank you for, Lord, the legacy that's here for the Burmans and their tenure here at the church. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Rogers and his dear family. God, I pray you would bless him and his ministry as he's pastoring here. God, I pray that you'd just use him greatly. Thank you for the opportunity to stand, Lord, before these dear folks, and Lord, try to give them this simple thought from your word. I pray that you would challenge our hearts in this Faith Promise Missions Week, that you would help us to realize the incredible promises that you have made, Lord, through Scripture, and Lord, that we would trust you through it all, especially in these uncertain, uncharted days. Lord, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go ahead and be seated. Thank you for standing. Just be glad, you know, Paul said some of the times he preached, he had them stand the whole time. So just be glad that I don't do that. Amen. It's nice to be able to sit down and have a church pew. Let me remind you what I said, though. Oh, by the way, if you noticed in the video, Pastor Rogers noticed it right away. Those burgundy pews you saw in the video in the chapel were actually donated by the church that Pastor Mike used to pastor up in the Northwest. And so they served as our church pews there. We had a little piece of his church that physically there in the chapel for many years. Back to our text, back to context. I chased rabbits. I apologize. So Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to notice something. We start at the beginning of the chapter, and I know that I've preached, you've probably heard many messages preached, and I have preached many times through Hebrews 11, but we see a legacy. We see a family history of faith through chapter 11. We understand that, but I would submit to you that this, without the faith of a father, the son probably may not, or the odds are that he may never see that faith in action, which means that our children might not have that faith. I think it's important for a father to have faith and to see faith in action in a dad, in a father. I think of my own dad who is still very, very tender to me. I still cry. I miss my dad every day. He was only 70, but he pastored for 28 years in Post Falls, Idaho. I was actually born in Seattle, moved to Florida, raised in Florida. So if I sound Southern at times, that's where I get it. But I'm really a Northwest boy. Then Dad moved up to Idaho back in 91 and took a church and pastored for 28 years. But God just called him home. But I think of my dad's faith. And I think of watching my dad step out of a lucrative marine engineering career and going to seminary and moving our entire family. And I remember watching faith manifested in his life, and it impacted me. There were times that I was angry at God or didn't like ministry or didn't like the impacts that it had on my life, and I was rebellious. I'm just naturally kind of that way, and honestly, the natural man is rebellious. Not your heads up and down. We are all that way. But God's grace, thank the Lord. I could never get away from that truth and what God had worked in my heart and through watching my mom and my dad. I thank God for that godly heritage. I'm not saying he's perfect. and neither was Abraham. But Isaac nonetheless saw the faith of his father. And we know the biblical history, as we saw in Hebrews 11. We didn't go through all the scripture, but you know, Isaac saw Abraham's faith, and Jacob saw Isaac's faith, and Joseph saw Jacob's faith, and Joseph's faith was seen by all of Israel and all his children. And then, of course, we know the history of Moses, and then Joshua, and then ultimately you. And without the faith of a father, we're in trouble. I challenge, if you're a father this morning, or a mother, if you are a parent, let God use you and let your children see, let your grandchildren, maybe you didn't get saved till later in life, but let your grandchildren see your faith in action, even this week during Faith Promise. Let them see that the Word of God is true, and that God's Word still stands, and that His promises are still there, and that they're still sure. Because if they don't see that, did you know it could cost them? If you're saved this morning, it's not going to cost you. But man, I shudder at the thought. I think of my two daughters. I thank God that they both have professed salvation and live a life where they love the Lord and they're in church. And I think of my son-in-law, and I think of now my little grandson. But I shudder at the thought of him growing up not seeing what faith in God was like and not being saved. And it is our responsibility not just to do what's right, not just to serve God, and not just to punch a card, but that the world around us, especially those close to us, see our faith in action. Faith Baptist Church cannot be a dead church. It has to be an active faith. It's got to be an active church, a living faith, where it's apparent to those. The number one thing I hear from my military prisoners all the time is, well, Chaplain Lance, I've tried Jesus. He didn't work for me. Or I've seen religious people. Or I went to church once and I got hurt. Or I whatever. What the reality is this, is they're comparing Jesus to a pair of blue jeans. Well, he didn't fit. Well, but that's an inanimate object. And a lot of times, listen to me, I'm not trying to be mean to you or any other church, but a lot of times when people have tried on Jesus, they tried on an inanimate object. They didn't try on live faith. They didn't see a faith, a congregation, a body of believers that was actively serving God and that was alive with something different. They want something real. They want to see true change. They want to see something alive. That's how people are. We want that same thing. When I turned to Christ, I'd heard all my life. I remember saying to myself as an older teenager, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I even believe He rose from the dead. I even like my youth pastor. How come I'm not saved? How come I don't feel like them? How come I don't act like them? How come I don't live like them? Well, I'd never been born again. I'd never been saved. I was steeped in religion. And I was about as born again, as alive as that carpet is right there. But thank God that He renews us and He regenerates us and gives us life. With that thought in mind, and this heritage of faith, the faith of a father, and again, with the faith in not just a God who's just there, but a God who actively promises and makes promises. Again, faith promise. He promises to bless us. Maybe not in the way you want Him to, but God does promise to meet our needs and to be there for us. But we also have to keep in mind that this is not our home, and we may not always be comfortable, and I certainly haven't been comfortable this year. I hate masks. Come on now, don't look at me like that. I don't know if you like wearing them or not. I'm not saying you shouldn't wear them. I think we ought to be wise as serpents, but harmless as a dove. I think we ought to do due diligence. In fact, general counsel I'd give to anybody in just about any circumstances, we ought to do everything we can do and let God do the things we cannot do. So if we can take measures, I think we ought to take them. However, we need to trust God to be God. And that is active faith. You should take your Bibles and look at Genesis 22. I'm going to give you four things this morning. And I know there's food. It seems like Pastor Mike sent me up this way. I always seem to preach either right before there's food or right after there's food when everybody's tired. I don't know. It just always seems to have worked out that way. And I know there's food out there. And trust, I like to eat. I guarantee you there's no one in here who likes to eat more than me. So I will try to remember that. Genesis chapter 22. Another very common passage of scripture, another story that most of you all have heard and probably heard preached many times, but just bear with me. Hopefully I'll give you something that will help you today. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he, God, said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and said, I ain't going." I'm just checking to see if y'all paying attention. That's not what he said. He got up the very next morning, and what did he do? He did exactly what God told him to do. You say, Brother Lance, but that's an impossible thing. I mean, that is unspeakable. But look what he said. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." Well, we can draw a couple things from this text. First of all, we look back to verse 2. It says, the Lord tells him this. Get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And he hadn't told him at that point. But the very next morning he got up early and started heading out. And it said at the end of the verse, number 3, he went into the place of which God had told him. Guess who was talking to God that night? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If God tells you to do something that makes you uncomfortable, you heard your pastor use that word a minute ago. Well, Lord, that's a little bit uncomfortable. I think that's the word he used. Lord, what you're telling me to do is putting me out of my comfort zone. I don't really like that. Well, you better be talking to God. You better make sure that maybe he was doing the self. Maybe he was doing the same thing and checking his cell phone to see if he had a good signal talking to God. I mean, did you know that these were people just like we are? He's saying, Lord, am I hearing you right? I need to be talking to you. Where do you want me to go? And you want me to go where and do what? I think I have there's some static in the line. I don't think I heard you right. Come on. He was a man just like we are. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and he did exactly what God told him to do. Verse number 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. That is key. He said, I'm trusting God to keep his promises. And maybe you're saying, well, Brother Lance, what promises? Well, I don't have time to go to all these texts this morning, but if you're taking notes, you can write down Genesis 12:7. You can write down Genesis 13:6. Genesis 17, verse 16. There are other places where he said, thy seed will produce many nations. And in chapter 17, verse 16, not that it said a Hagar or anyone else who he was being presumptive and assuming where his seed would come from. The Lord tells him point blank, oh, no. This is coming from you, buddy. This is you and Sarah. This is where your seed's coming from. Abraham had a promise from God, not only that he would have a son, but that it would produce many nations. And so Abraham knew what God had promised him. And now God says, I want him. Well, let's just be transparent this morning. Most of the time when we read this text, we aren't really focused on Abraham. We're focused on this. I get this question all the time, especially from some of my young soldiers. They'll say, well, Brother Lance, you know, why would God, I've heard this many, many times. Why would God want him to kill Isaac? Y'all look up here this morning. He never wanted him to kill Isaac. You know what God wanted? God wanted the faith of Abraham, and God wanted the faith of Isaac. God wanted the life of Abraham, and God wanted the life of Isaac. And the only way to make that sure, to make that certain, was to say, I gave you a promise. I want you, and some people say, well, God, you know, the Bible says that God doesn't tempt man, but yet it says that he did. God didn't tempt him to sin. God said, here's a challenge. I want to put this before you. Here's the reality. And I get this question a lot too. Well, why did God challenge him, or why did God test him, or why did God tempt him? Whatever words you want to use, if God already knows what you're made of. Maybe you're feeling that way this week, and you're like, well, Brother Lance, why is God testing us? Why is he trying us if God already knows what we're going to decide and already knows what we're going to do? God doesn't try us because he doesn't know. He tries us because we don't know. We don't know where we stand. It's real easy to say, oh, yes, I trust God. Absolutely. He's my Savior. I trust him in all circumstance. But the reality is we don't. We know we're supposed to. I believe that most of us this morning try to. But yet when we get put through things that we don't understand, we discover how shallow our faith is. And so then as Brother Merlo was preaching this morning out of 2 Corinthians, and it says, first they gave of themselves. We're like, whoa, that's a little. I don't mind putting an Andrew Jackson in the offering plate, but Lord, I don't want to get in the offering plate. I don't want to go to Argentina, and I certainly don't want to go to prison. I'd rather just put in a little bit of money in the plate to send one of these guys. Come on now. I mean, are y'all following what in military terms, we say, are you tracking? You following what I've given you this morning? It's really a simple thing. Here's the first thing I want to give you. The very first point is this. Did you know that Abraham kept walking? I was talking to your pastor the other day. I preached at my brother's church up in North Idaho just a few weeks ago, and I preached out of the text where in 2 Kings where Elijah just had the mountaintop experience, and of course he comes down and God answered prayer and broke the famine and broke the drought. And but then remember, Jezebel threatened his life, and we find him where? Under the infamous juniper tree. God, I'm done. I'm the only one trying to do anything around here, and I just want to go home. Can you just take me out of here? And we're like, man, well, Brother Lance, I would never be suicidal like that. Well, number one, I really don't believe that he was suicidal. I believe that he was, y'all look up here, it ain't time to pray yet. I believe he was a whole lot like us. Because I've heard this a lot in the last 9 months. I am so done. I just want God to come back and take me out of here. Come on now, we're just like Elijah. But you know what God told him? I don't have time to preach that text, but he says, hey, come up here. Remember, he called him up on the mountain and he pointed down to a city. He says, hey, there's some work for you to do down there. And we all know, well, there would have never been an Elisha if Elijah hadn't been tried. There would never be an Isaac if Abraham hadn't been tried. Isaac saw the faith of his father. Abraham, he watched his father continue to walk in spite of Satan's lies, in spite of the uphill climb, in spite of the rough road, in spite of the impossible, insurmountable, unthinkable task ahead as they're going up that mountain. Can you imagine the rocks and the hard, dusty, hot trail carrying? And here's Isaac carrying the bundle of sticks he's going to burn on. I can't imagine what's going through his head. But you know what? He kept walking. I would challenge this church, keep going. Don't sit down. Don't quit. Keep giving to missions. Keep reaching your community. Get behind your pastor and his family. Keep walking for the Lord. Don't stop walking with Christ. See, Brother Lance, I don't know even where we're going. Join the club. I just told you literally the only thing that's certain in my life right now is the Lord himself. I really don't even know for sure exactly when I'm going to be where for the next few weeks. I'd probably go spend for the first time in a long time. I might actually get to go spend Thanksgiving with my mom. Usually, my wife and I are in prison all day on Thanksgiving. That's usually what we do. We hand out gift cards to the military police and gospel tracts. That's just what we've done for years. And we might actually get to go with family. But listen, I said this to a church some time ago. This is probably the longest time in 19 years that I've been out of prison. You might say, well, that's a good thing, but no, it's not. I mean, that's where God's, that's what I love to do. And I'm like a fish out of water. I mean, just put me behind those bars, let me preach to those guys, and I love it. It's what I like. I mean, having Brother Merlo away from his church and the people that he's pastored and the people that he's ministered to, I'm sure he enjoys being here like I do, but listen, when God calls you somewhere and he lets you in on something and then all of a sudden it's like dried up, we've all found ourselves facing what Abraham faced here and maybe what Elijah was facing. Man, this is dry and it's hot, and Lord, I just want you to take me out of here, and I'm just done. I'm done with masks. I'm done with COVID. I'm done with this big change in these transitions in my life. But here's the question. Are we really trusting God when we do that? Or should we say, Lord, help me to put one foot in front of the other? I preached on that years ago here. I don't know if you remember that or not. But the Lord directs the what of a righteous man? The steps. Did you know it's very unlikely that the Lord will say, see that over there? That's where you're going. Now, he did in this case. He said, that mountain over there, because it said he lifted up his eyes and he saw the place that God told him of. But listen, with me, that never happened. The Lord just said, hey, put your foot right there, boy. Put your foot right there. Lord, where am I going? Don't you worry about that. Come on, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You all know the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Yeah, but God, I don't understand. You don't need to understand. He never asked you to understand. He said, trust him. Keep walking. Just keep walking. Walk the path that you know you're supposed to walk. Keep going to church. Keep serving God. Keep praying for your pastor. Keep standing with this church. Keep doing what God wants you to do. And God will make your path evident. I just believe that. Abraham kept walking. Number two, Abraham kept worshiping. The Bible says this in number five, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad go yonder and what? Worship. And come again unto you. You say, Brother Lance, how in the world did he worship God when God was asking him such unspeakable things? It's a good question. Did you know worship is a... The Bible speaks of the sacrifice of worship. You know, it's easy to worship God and say, praise the Lord, I got a promotion. Woo! That's easy to worship God. It's easy to come and say, yes, he's awesome and God meets our need. But when you're facing dry times and times of famine and times of difficulty and times of pandemic. But did you know the community's watching? And not just to see if you wear your masks or not. They're watching to see your attitudes. They're watching to see, are you still worshiping the God who still reigns in the middle of this storm? Come on now. Are you still Abraham kept worshiping. He said, listen, I don't know. I don't know what. I really don't know what to expect. But I know this. God made me a promise. And we just read in Hebrews, even if he does die, God will bring him back to life because God made me a promise. I don't understand. You don't have to understand. God's ways are higher than our ways. He still wasn't even seeing that God wants Isaac alive. God wants him alive. He didn't understand that. He said, are you willing to give what's most precious to you? By the way, this applies to missions too. It only hurts to give the things that you love. Come on now. If money didn't mean anything to you, you just throw it in the offering plate. Come on now. If your life, if it didn't matter to you, what you like to do and doing what you want, Pastor told me that a little bit ago. He said, Brother Lance, do what you want. I said, I really don't want to do what I want. I want to do what God wants. See, I did what I wanted for 29 years before I finally surrendered and said, God, I want what you want. Now, that doesn't mean I always do what God wants, but that's what I certainly want to do because when Lance has his way, God really has his. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it only hurts us to give the things that we love. And if we love our life, and the Lord talked a lot about that. We don't have time to go into all that this morning. If we love our life, it's hard for us to give it to him. But if we're like, Lord, this is not my life, it's your life. It's not so hard. If we love our money, we love our homes, we love our cars, we love our resources, we love our barns and our barns that are packed full of plenty. If we love that, it will be very difficult for us to part with any of that for God. But if we're like, Lord, you bless me with this, it's not mine, you just let me be a steward of it, it's yours. Lord, I'll give you whatever you want. It's not hard. If we love God the most and we love our children, but we love Lord more, it's easy for us. Listen, God does a lot better job with my girls than I did. Lord, they're yours. Yes, we have responsibility, and yes, we have stewardship and all these things. Bottom line is this, Abraham kept worshiping because he kept his eyes on God and he remembered the promises that God had made and he held God to his word. Do we do that? Man, I'd love to tell you I always do, but I haven't. Your pastor said this morning that he is worthy. He's worthy of our worship and our praise even when we don't feel like it. Abraham didn't just keep worshiping. By the way, Isaac was alongside him to see him continuing to walk. Isaac was alongside him and saw him continuing to worship. In fact, he taught Isaac to worship. Don't you believe that? Third, Abraham kept working. Verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. That's just emphasizing what I'm telling you. Everything Abraham did, Isaac was right there with him. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, or here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Boy, awkward. I mean, can you imagine that question? This test is faith. And Abraham, I love this. And we, how prophetic. We all know the prophetic impact of all this scripture. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. I don't have time to go into all those things this morning for the application I'm trying to get to this morning. But listen, Abraham trusted God to provide and to make provision and to keep his promises. And even when uncomfortable, awkward conversations happen with his son, there are times where your kids will say, well, mom and dad, how are we going to do that? Or grandpa, grandma, how are we going to do that? How do you keep doing that? You know, I don't know, but I know this. God will take care of us. I told that to my children so many times. Listen, daddy, mama, they could tell when things were wrong and when things weren't comfortable. And they could tell when things weren't quite right. And they asked us at times. You can ask my wife. And mom, dad, what are you going to do? You know what? We're going to keep walking. And we're going to keep worshiping. And we're going to keep working. Because God will take care of this. I'm not sure how. I don't need to understand how. All I know is this. I want you to see us doing what we're supposed to do because we trust God. I believe the only people say, Brother Lance, what was the secret? Your girls are such amazing young ladies. And of course, I am not biased at all. I already said that to several people this week. But honestly, that's what it is. It's not because we're such amazing people. But I pray that they got a glimpse of Christ. And they saw us trust him, even when we didn't know what to do. And they know this, they don't have all the answers. And they know their daddy doesn't have all the answers. And they've seen their dad and their mom fail. But they have watched God meet our need time after time after time. Even in hardship. Isaac watched his daddy keep building. In fact, he kept working with his dad. He was carrying his own sticks for this altar. Abraham kept working. He was tired. He was old. He didn't see God's promises on the horizon, but he kept serving. John chapter 9 verse 4 says this, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. You know, there is coming a time when we won't be able to minister, and we won't be able to go out and do what God wants us to do. And there will be coming a time, obviously, when the Lord takes us home and harvest time's over. But we can work now. And even though it's difficult, maybe times have changed, and maybe it has to be reaching people online. Maybe you need to figure, you say, Brother Lance, I'm terrible with technology. Well, maybe you need to figure out FaceTime, and maybe you need to figure out Zoom, so you can call your family and call your grandkids and call your neighbors, and you can still witness, and you can still reach people for Christ, and you can still reach people with the gospel if you really want to. God has blessed us with lots of ways to do that. We need to keep working. Don't just sit at home in a lockdown order or whatever these governors do. I'm not trying to be defiant. I'm just saying, but don't just sit there and do nothing. God's given us ways to serve him anyway. Keep working. The Bible says this, and they came to the place which, where did I stop? But where's the burnt offering? Verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Again, making it real clear that, boy, if there's ever a time to pray without ceasing and to talk to God continually, this is a time. Listen, when you feel like you're on that, maybe right now is that time, and you feel like it's an uphill climb, and you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know, and it just looks grim, and you're like, God, I don't understand. Hey, what better time to just trust God and say, God, I really need to hear from you. Don't just get up on Sunday and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to church today. Lord, help me to get right. Make sure my heart's right. Help me to listen to your word. But every single day, Lord, I don't know. These days are unprecedented. Lord, I need to walk with you every day. I need to be in tune. I need to know where you want me to go. I need to know what you want me to do. I need to know what to look for. I really believe that Abraham the entire time was tuned in. Don't you? They came to the place that God had told him of, again implying he was listening to the Lord. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Here's the tough part. Bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Do you know what I see in this verse? I see absolutely incredible faith of Isaac. I want you to think about this. By this time, Abraham was old. And I'm not going to pick on people's age because I learned a long time ago, you don't mess with old guys. And the older I get, I tell young people all the time, don't mess with me. I'm too old to scrap. I'll just kill you. People laugh, but you don't know what somebody knows. There's a story in Spokane of an old veteran got jumped by three guys. He killed one of them, almost killed the other one. The other guy, they caught him later. And when the cops interviewed the old veteran, he was like 75 years old. And he said this. He goes, I told the guy, he says, how come you didn't kill him? He goes, because I didn't have to. I told him, I'm too old to fight. I'll just kill you. It just stuck in my mind. But I already learned, you know, you don't mess with an old, you just don't know. You don't know what someone knows. However, I've also worked in prison a long time, and I've met an awful lot of strapping, huge, buff-built, muscle-bound soldiers that are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and I realize I'm almost 50, and these guys could whoop me really easy. I'm not stupid. And so, come on, I want you to put perspective here. So here comes Abraham. He comes up to Isaac, his strapping young lad, and he says, son, I need you to, do you trust me? Yeah, Dad. Do you trust our God? Dad, you've always trusted him. I trust him too. Then I want you to hold out your hands. And he took his hands and he bound him. You think any strong, strapping young man who's full of himself would let his dad do that if he didn't trust God? I submit to you that Isaac had a lot of faith in God, and it was because of the faith of his father. No young man's going to let him do that, some guy do that to him, unless he trusted him. Come on now. Do your kids see your faith in God enough where they trust him too? The faith of a father is important. I want you to see something else about this before I get to the last point. I'm almost done. Y'all bear with me. Abraham kept working. This is where the work starts. The Bible said this in verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, I've seen, you know, pictograms and flannel graphs and illustrations and stuff that show Abraham over the top of the altar like this, you know. Y'all ever seen stuff like that? You know, he's got that knife. I don't believe Isaac's life was ever in danger unless Abraham wasn't watching for God. The Bible said he reached out to take the knife, and as soon as he reached out his hand to take the knife, come on now, what happened? God spoke. What would happen? Listen. Has it ever occurred to you that if you don't listen to the word of God and you don't have your ears tuned in to God, that it could cost you the lives of your children? Abraham would have been alive, but it would have cost Isaac if he wasn't tuned into God. But Abraham, he was tuned in. Are we tuned into God? Because people around us could be destroyed and go to an eternal hell if we aren't tuned into God. The Bible says this. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He went to take that knife, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. I believe he was waiting. Lord, any minute now, Lord, any second, please. Lord, please, come on, Lord. And he reached to take that knife, and he said, Abraham, he said, yes, I'm right here. He said, Brother Lance, you think he reacted like that? I would. I absolutely, but he was tuned into God. And he knew he had obeyed God. And he had faith in the promises of God. I just believe that. He was watching for God's provisions as he trusted in his promises. Now, I told your pastor this is going to be a weird missions message, but is that not what faith promise is? God, you're asking me to do what? We better be tuned in. By the way, and if we're not tuned in, it will cost us the lives of people who don't know him. And they watch our faith. And just like Isaac watched their daddies, our children watch ours and our grandchildren. And I want them to see our faith. I want them to see the faith of Faith Baptist Church. And it will change lives, listen, not just right now, but for eternity. Isaac, listen, you can't convince me otherwise that Isaac was never the same after this day. I just believe that. Last thing, I'll be done. Abraham kept watching. He was watching for God's promise to be fulfilled. He was watching for God's provision. He was watching for God. You know, here's the problem. Most of us are watching the news. Look me in my God-given eyeball this morning. You're watching the news. And I don't care which network it is. And I don't like everything about President Trump. I pray for him. But there are things I don't like about him. But one thing I do like about him is this. He says it's fake news. I'm going to tell you something. It's all fake news. They tell you whatever they want to tell you. And they want you to believe what they want you to hear. And I'm not trying to get into politics this morning. I'm just telling you, we better not have our eyes on the news. Come on now. We better not, I don't care whether it's conservative or liberal news. I don't care. We better not have our eyes on the news. We better have our eyes on God. And we better be tuned in listening for him to talk to us. And we better keep walking, and we better keep worshiping. Come on now, and we better keep watching for him. I just believe that. He was watching the Lord. He wasn't watching the stuff. He was like, God, what are you going to do? I'm watching for what the Lord's going to do. Are you watching for what God's going to do this week? I am. I'm so excited. And he, look what it says. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Brother Lance, that makes it sound like God didn't know. Oh, God knew. But you know who didn't know until right then? Abraham. God says, well, now you've been assured, haven't you? You've been through the fire. You know, hey, you know what? You're going to trust me. And Abraham never forgot this day either. I guarantee it. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the wages of sin is death. Man, I listened to the pastor, the music this morning, talking about the Lord taking our place and making that provision for us that we are not held by death because of him. Neither was Isaac because of the provision of God. Again, there's a lot of amazing preaching that could come from this text. I don't have time this morning. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, and it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That simply means this, the Lord provides. Well, does the Bible not teach us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? The same God that provided for Abraham is the same one that will provide for us. And I'm done. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. I asked a Marine one time, I said, what does that verse mean? And he goes, it means you don't quit till you're dead. Brother Berman, Brother McConnell didn't quit until God called him home. My dad didn't quit until God called him home, even if it was earlier than I wanted him to. What's it going to be said of us? I mean, I'm going to stay and I'm going to serve alongside Pastor Rogers and serve alongside Faith Baptist Church until the day God calls me home. I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep working. And I'm going to keep watching for God to do what only God can do. Help me to be faithful and do what I'm supposed to. Even in especially in days like today. Listen, the faith of a father is important. If you hadn't already figured that out. Where does your heritage, where does your legacy start? Maybe the first generation Christian. Maybe your parents were Christians. I don't know. But how about this? I didn't have this written down, but I just thought about this. Where does your legacy of faith end? With you? God forbid. Our kids remember us. They know. They see us. I pray that they see your faith. And I pray the only way to affect a lasting change in this community and our world is to let other people see our faith. I pray that this church that Grants Pass sees the faith of fathers, of mothers, of children. Look for God's promises. God promised to take care of you. He promised to sustain you until the day he calls you home. Keep doing what God wants you to do. Don't ever stop having a heart for missions. This church has been a blessing to us for 16, 17 years. Listen, you keep serving God. Let God take care of you. Amen. Have the faith of a father. Pastors, you come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you for this church. I don't know if I, Lord, did what I did the best I could. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us this morning to be in tune to your word. I pray you'd speak to our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us to trust you. And Lord, it's so easy to say that we do, but in times like these, we really probably aren't trusting you. And I just pray that our faith would truly be life-changing. And Lord, that our children and our siblings and our grandchildren and Lord, the next generation, the community would see true faith. And Lord, that your promises are true. And Lord, that they will come to fruition. Lord, I just pray that you would meet the needs of everyone in here. Let them see how real you are. If there's someone that's not saved, God, that they would trust in the promise of salvation. Lord, we thank you for all that you are in Jesus' name.